In the time of Christ, Western Palestine was divided into three provinces: Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Samaria occupied the center of Palestine. And in the year 722 before Christ, after a long and hard-fought battle, the Syrian army captured this people, the people from Samaria. And most of the population were captivated and sent into exile. The sad thing was, some of the women married into these Assyrian nations. So a new nation was born. A nation consisted of half Jews. And therefore, the Jews considered the Samaritans as Gentiles, as half-bloods, as people who were not cleansed enough to come into the presence of God. And there were a lot of differences, religious differences, between the Samaritans and the Jews. And there were a great deal of animosity because of this. The Jews considered Zion, the temple in Jerusalem, as the holy place. But they excluded the Samaritans even to enter into the temple in Zion. The Samaritans, on the other hand, also excluded the Jews from their holy place, which was Mount Gerizim. We also know that the Jews considered their Bible consisted of the law, the prophets, I lost my place. Sorry. I found it. The prophets, the law, and the scriptures. I couldn't find the scriptures. While the Samaritans, on the other hand, only regarded the first five books of Moses as their Bible. The Jews also considered the Samaritans as people who is unclean. So they didn't talk to the Samaritans. They didn't walk through their land or their province. Because if you touched the ground even, you became unholy. You became unclean as well. So they didn't touch anything the Samaritans would have touched. And that meant to the Jews who came into contact with this uncleanness of the Samaritans, that they were excluded as well. The Jews were not allowed to come into the temple when they were unclean. In this reading, all of this comes to the fore. All this animosity, all this hostilities. But Jesus didn't care. Instead of going the long way around the province of Samaria, Jesus decided he will just go through this province. And then he went to the well of Jacob. Now this well was on the western side of Mount Gerizim, the holy site of the Samaritans. So Jesus was actually treading on holy ground of the Samaritans. And it was the sixth hour. The sixth hour usually meant about noon, about 12 o'clock, the warmest part of the day. No woman in those days would go at noon to collect water from the well. Why? Because all the women would gather water late afternoon and use the time to blather with one another. So the fact that this woman came alone says something of her reputation. She had a bad reputation. Other women ignored her. And then Jesus started to talk to her. He didn't only talk to her. He also asked her for water. And then she says, "How on earth can you as a Jew ask me for some water? It's not allowed. You're not allowed to speak to me." And then Jesus says to her, "But I can give you living water," meaning fresh, flowing water. But she didn't understand that Jesus was talking in a figurative sense. He didn't mean it literally. Then she responded by saying, But you don't even have a rope or a bucket, and this well is so deep. Are you then greater than our father Jacob? And here some of her prejudice comes to the fore. Because the Jews did not consider the Samaritans as the children of Jacob. But she and all the Samaritans did consider themselves as the children of Jacob. But Jesus didn't listen to her prejudice. Jesus was talking about the living water that comes from God. The living water of faith, of hope and love. She, at first, did not understand. But later in this chapter, it seems that she realized that Jesus could be the Messiah. The sad thing about this reading today is that out of the extra biblical literature, we find evidence that the Samaritans expected a different Messiah. They expected someone who would be the Taheb, a restorer, a prophet like Moses. And we all know that Jesus was much more than Moses. Maybe this woman realized from this ordinary encounter with Jesus that he was God. And maybe this ordinary day event changed her life forever and ever. Just one conversation with Jesus might have changed her perspective on life. Because Jesus broke down the barriers. He offered this lady an opportunity to be part of the new relationship between God and his people through Jesus Christ. Jesus included this woman, included her to be part of the new covenant, the covenant which was made possible by his life, his death, and his resurrection. I can just imagine this woman's emotions. To think of, she stood up like any other day. She just went to the well. And there, a Jew spoke to her. And he changed her. He changed her life. The text verses for the sermon this morning comes from verse 13 to 15. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." I am sure you all have experienced an unexpected conversation or situation that changed your perspective on life or even your life itself. I remember such one event. When we came to Edinburgh at first and were settling in the new country and struggling to find our feet, we bought a new car for £550. It wasn't a new car. And since I was not very gifted with my hands, this car started to make funny noises. So, and because I'm new to this country, I do not have family or friends to help me with these funny noises, I knew this car is going to break down soon. And we were in a real pickle. And also, I must admit, I didn't have a lot of cash to spend. So I was really panicking. But one day I saw a garage and I popped in to this garage. But to my astonishment, when this man started to speak to me, I couldn't understand a word. He was from Glasgow. And to make matters even worse, his facial expression made my stomach turn. This man wasn't friendly at all. And then as I got panicking, I started to speaking even faster. And I just tried to explain to him where the noises was coming from. He just nodded his head, and the next moment he grabbed the keys from my hands and off he went, climbed in the car, revved the engine, and then came to me. And then he was saying something about a telephone, and then I gathered I must write down my number. And then he just stared me down, and I gathered, maybe he's telling me now to go. So I was really flabbergasted. And I walked away, and I'm thinking to myself, to think I must come and get this car again. And I must face this man, which I don't understand. And after a week, I went and I fetched the car. I had no other option. But after a month, believe it or not, the noises returned again. And I knew I just had to go back to that garage. And I remembered the first encounter I had and how devastated I felt. I dreaded this moment. But funnily enough, this time, I could understand what the man was saying. And I could understand that this man wasn't rude at all. This man was quite helpful. He said, actually, I must wait. He sent someone to make sure that I will wait. And after an hour, he handed me the keys. And he said to me, in a very nice way, that if I have ever problems again, I must bring it back to him. And then, as I took out my wallet, he didn't know I only had 20 pounds. He said, no, there's no charge. I can go. And I'm thinking, do I really understand this man? But yes, I drove away and I realized that I learned a very important lesson. This mechanic did not only fix my car, but he also taught me to listen better, to read between the lines, and not to judge. Not to judge just because you do not understand. And I think the same is true of this Samaritan woman. An ordinary conversation at the well changed her perspective, not only of the Jews, but also of the Messiah. She learned that day to understand where Jesus was coming from. She learned to drink from a well that will never, ever run dry again. She learned that prejudice can be very awful. This Samaritan woman's life was changed because she was truly honest and open to Jesus. And on our daily journeys, we also come across people that we do not always understand because they speak different, they look different. And yes, in the village, we tend to judge people because of their family history, because of racial and class prejudice, and even because of previous incidents. And the sad thing is, sometimes we would not even have spoken to these people. We just judge them. But as Christians, Jesus is teaching us another way, another option. We must be open to be surprised by God's intervention. There's a reason why different people with different sets of beliefs enter our lives. And we must be open and surprised to discover the real people that is often covered by our prejudice and the masks that we give them, and even covered with the gossip. And we ought to listen, not only to what they are saying to us, but to read between the lines the things they are not saying to us. We as Christians need to be more emotionally intelligent. And an example of this is, if you see that there's a woman being beaten by her husband, you do not go up to her and ask her how she's feeling. Of course she's not feeling well. We as Christians need to be much more sensitive. We need to walk the extra mile and find out why people is behaving the way they do. We need to share the faith of God with our world, because our world is thirsty for the peace, the happiness, and the love, and the justice that can only come from God. And you and I must bring people to the well of God to experience how it feels to drink this living water, this water of faith that makes us bubbling, this faith that keeps us going, this faith who gives us joy despite our circumstances and our suffering. We need to share this living water with the people of our world that is so thirsty. But if we block the well of God through our prejudices and hypocrisies, the world will not be able to see it. If we judge and act by excluding people, we are not acting the way Jesus showed us. And as we journey towards Easter, we need to show our love and compassion to all people. We need to come to the well of God as often as we can. We need to grab on to all the events like prayer meetings, the Lent study, everywhere we can find the place to be in the presence of God. We need to drink from this water that God gives us. We need to feel His presence each and every moment of every day. And this well of God can be any place. It can be the time of worship. It can be in this church. It can be even on the streets. It can even be a conversation with a stranger where God teaches us important lessons. May God help us to go during this Lent onto the streets to find those that are seeking God's living water. And may we never ever be discouraged to stop asking if someone does not want to drink from this water. May we understand then where they are coming from, and may we act with love. Amen.